Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. The title of my message this morning is The Bright Light of Christmas. Christmas is just about the only time I do topical messages. They're much more difficult to prepare and much easier to go astray on. So I want to start this morning with a short video, kind of set the stage for what we're talking about this morning.
Picture this. It's a cold winter's night. Snow is gently falling. Darkness surrounds you. And you struggle to see. Everything is obscure. Every direction. Meaningless. But suddenly, light.
Jesus was born, they tell us that a light appeared in the sky. A light that not even the greatest of astronomers could identify. A light so bright that even darkness had to flee. A light so powerful that even the worst of what we had done was not only exposed, it was cleansed, forgiven, and forgotten. You see, this is why Jesus came to earth, to give us that light, so that we would have the same joy and the same love and the same light everywhere we go. And the best news is, this is a light meant for all. It is freely offered. You see, Christmas is more than the warmth of friends and family, more than nostalgia, the gifts, and memories. It is about the greatest gift ever given, because a world in darkness has not only seen a great light, no, we have seen the greatest light, and his name is Jesus.
The bright light of Christmas. We find several displays of God's glory as we read through the Old Testament. The display is often in the form of an awe-inspiring light. Later Judaism, the bright light was called the Shekinah. I've long been fascinated by the Shekinah glory of God. I've always seen the Shekinah glory as a temporary viewing of the spiritual world by the physical world. God peeling back the curtain for a brief period of time so we can see into that spiritual world where his glory is always on display. This Christmas Eve morning, I want to spend some time exploring the Shekinah glory, especially as it relates to Christmas. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. That's the first day of creation. That's day one. And we read a few verses later, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day." Now, you know I love creation, but I read these two different passages for a reason. There was light on day one. The sun was created day four. What was the light in between? How did the light get there? So what's the light? The light was the glory of God shining into the physical world. It will be again that kind of light. There had to be some physicality to the light, as much as radio waves and electronic flow and so forth can have some physicality. There had to be some sort of physicality to it because it lit up the world. God said there was light and there was light, but there was not yet sun for three more days. So there was some physicality to the light in the world. How do I know that there was some physicality to it and there was real light? Well, God said so. But on day three, he created the plants. Plants need what? They need light. The light was real and it was effective. The physical display of God's glory was shining on the world. Adam and Eve were created 2 days after the sun, but they still felt the presence of God as they walked in the garden. It wasn't until they sinned that they sought to hide from God's presence. No longer wanted to be in their presence, they hid from the presence of God. Now over to the book of Exodus. After Moses had left Egypt and had gone up into Midian, he was confronted by a sight that he had never seen before, a fantastic display he couldn't explain. Oops, sorry, I went too far. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses! And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals of your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I love that picture. Take off your shoes. This is a holy place. Moses looked and he saw the burning bush, but saw that the bush wasn't being consumed by the fire. The fire wasn't the bush. The fire was something else. We'll discover as we read through the Old Testament, the fire often represents God's presence. Moses at Mount Horeb in Midian. Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, is a location where Moses would later receive the law from God. A mountaintop that looked burned but not consumed, like the bush. From the burning bush, God called out to Moses, Moses, Moses! And he responded, here I am. Well, it was not called a Shekinah in this passage. This event is often viewed as an appearance of the Shekinah. Shekinah is a transliteration of the Hebrew word, which has its root meaning of dwelling or presence. God was presenting himself before Moses and calling out to him, and Moses responded in the most appropriate way, here I am. God was instituting a new relationship with Moses that would eventually translate into a relationship with his chosen people. Moses was called to lead God's chosen people out of bondage in Egypt to the promised land, and a relationship was being established. God was saying, here I am with you. While the Hebrews were wandering in the wilderness, God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. We've recently learned that Moses was shown the heavenly tabernacle, the design of which he was to copy to build the earthly tabernacle. So let's find out what happened when the tabernacle was finished. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they were not to set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and a fire was in it by night, the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. The cloud here represents God's presence. At night, they could see the tabernacle was filled with fire. Fire is the Hebrew word esh, which appears more than 375 times in the Old Testament, and it's almost always talking about the appearance of God in context with his people. It's almost always talking about God with his people. God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle as a place where he would meet with his people. It symbolized his presence with them. God led them by the cloud or the tongue of fire as they wandered for 40 years. Presented them to himself as a gift. He was present with them, dwelling with them, symbolized by the fire. I would argue that the cloud and the fire were actually the Shekinah glory of God. Several other events in the Old Testament where God demonstrates his presence with them through the Shekinah. We see that Shekinah glory, the presence of God in the fire that God used. But then there came a time when the fire was taken, when the Shekinah was taken. A time of Ichabod. We go to 1 Samuel 4:21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God had been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of the covenant has been captured." If you remember the story, the Philistines had taken the ark. They had taken the ark out of the tabernacle and were parading it around, that's the Hebrews were, as a military item. A way to guarantee their success, and then they lost the ark. And it was in the hands of the. And so there was a child named Ichabod, because the glory of God had left. The fire was out. Of course, the Ark of the Covenant caused all sorts of problems for the Philistines, and they wanted it gone. And the Jews got it back, and return of the Shekinah glory to the tabernacle. We also have seen God's glory fill the tabernacle or the temple of Solomon built in Jerusalem. We go to 2 Chronicles 7:1-3. And as soon as Solomon finished his prayer and came down from the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For it is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." God's glory filled the temple, symbolized by the bright light, the fire of the Shekinah. But then there's another period of Ichabod in Ezekiel chapter 10. Then the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth before my eyes as they went out. And the wheels beside them. And they stood in the entrance of the east gate of the house of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord, or of the God of Israel, was over them. Ezekiel had been transported in time or space. Remember, he was in Babylon. He was by the Kabar Canal. And God transports him through time and space back to Jerusalem, where he can see God's glory leaving the temple. Ichabod. Symbolized through the fire leaving the temple, Ezekiel saw God no longer present with his people. God's presence was gone. The light in the temple was out. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, we read, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. And a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." about 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah writes, there's coming a time when the glory of God will be revealed again. Isaiah was writing in a troubled period of time. The northern tribes were already captured. The southern tribes were being oppressed and soon to be captured. But Isaiah spoke of a future when God's glory would be revealed again, when the light of heaven would again be seen in Israel. So when was the Shekinah revealed in Israel? Well, Isaiah also writes, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. There will be a time when God will be present with us again. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was again returning to be with his people. Of course, we know that he never really left his people, but there's that symbolic presence of the Shekinah glory they no longer could see. He had departed from the temple, Ichabod, as Ezekiel had recorded. He came to the physical world to be a newborn baby. Let's look at how Israel was notified. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. You think? And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Israel was notified that God was again physically with them by a bright light in the sky, shining around the angels, announcing the birth of Jesus, the bright light of Christmas. As the shepherds were caring for their sheep out in the middle of shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem, all of a sudden a bright light was in the sky, and the angels silhouetted by the bright light. The angel said, born this day is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Notice what the angels are saying. The Savior was born, and he is the Messiah. Matthew recorded it as Emmanuel, God with us. God was again with the people of Israel. John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John describes Jesus as the Word of God, the Son of God, the glory of God. We now see his glory. Jesus grew and became a man and then presented himself before John the Baptizer to be baptized. You remember the account. John recognized Jesus and said, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you and you come to me? We got these roles backwards, John was telling Jesus. But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And then when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice in the best James Earl Jones voice you can imagine came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus continued his earthly ministry with a group of disciples, 12 chosen men, and then specifically zeroing in on three his inner circle. He provided the inner circle an opportunity to see the glory of God in their presence. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, we begin reading about the transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared with him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good that we're here with you? If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice, again, James Earl Jones-type voice, said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. God had given them the privilege of stepping into the spiritual world and seeing the beautiful, glorious Shekinah glory. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Shining in all the radiant glory of God stood Jesus, wrapped in the Shekinah glory. Jesus pulled back that curtain just for a moment between the spiritual world and the physical world for Peter, James, and John to see. I can't imagine what that was like. I've been places where I have felt more in the spiritual world. It's always been bad places. In Haiti, we stood in what is now a Grace Brethren church, but used to be a voodoo burial ground. The hairs stand up on the back of your neck. Your arms, your hair is like bushy like this because you just feel the presence of evil. I can't imagine what that was like for Peter, James, and John to be in the Shekinah glory and feel the presence of holy. Throughout Scripture, we see glimpses of the spiritual world. When those glimpses include God, it's almost always in radiant bright light or the bright light of an intense fire. At Christmas time, we should also remember the light in the sky that drew the Magi to Bethlehem. Called a star, but not like any other star. Stars go in fixed routes. This did not. The light moved and stood still with purpose. It directed men who knew the Old Testament along with other religious books. They recognized the sign Israel was given. The sign of the Messiah, the sign of God again being with Israel. They recognized the Shekinah glory in the sky and they followed and traveled with it. Of course, we know that Jesus came for a specific purpose. We celebrate that at Easter, right? That's Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to provide propitiation for our sins, to make it just for God to forgive us. So this Christmas, let's think about the bright light of God's glory on display, seen by the wise men, seen by the shepherds, seen by those who were with John the Baptizer when he was baptizing Jesus in the Jordan, seen by Peter, James, and John, seen by the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. As the bright light shone in his face, he saw Jesus, the resurrected Savior. The apostle would later say that in him, that is Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Jesus, God himself, creator, sustainer of the universe, sacrificing himself for us. Christmas is a day of celebration about Jesus going to the cross. Don't ever see Christmas without seeing the cross. Don't ever see the cross without seeing the empty grave. And don't ever see any of that without seeing the bright light that God revealed to the world, his Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for the picture of the bright light that you give us, the picture of you that you give us through Jesus, through his sacrifice, through his willingness to care for us, to provide you a legal way to forgive us. Thank you that from time to time you roll back the curtain of separation between the physical world and the spiritual world. Father, I'm grateful that most of the time I can't see into that world. But sometimes you allow us to see you in your glory. And thank you for that. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for all the folks that are here or in the sound of my voice, wherever they might be. And if they don't know you, Father, I pray that you would just draw them, give them the faith that they need to have to become your children, to follow you, that they might also encounter the bright light of who you are and what you've done. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for the sacrifice on our behalf. Thank you for Christmas, for Easter. Thank you for what's coming for us in the future, eternal salvation with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.